This week, Israeli occupation forces continued, despite roadmap dissembling, to target and kill Palestinians. Sharon constructed himself a way out of ceasefire by declaring he would continue the practice of targeted assassinations, all of which are illegal under international law. Palestinians have agreed on an internal ceasefire today. Israeli occupation forces killed 4 and injured 4 Palestinians early this morning in attacks in the Gaza Strip. Beginning at 4 a.m., the IOF invaded the Magraka area near Khan Yunis with 15 tanks and jeeps. Israeli soldiers attacked the home of Amran al-Ghul, the 33-year-old brother of Adan al-Ghul, a Hamas activist whom the Israelis say is wanted. Israeli soldiers not only killed Adnan al-Ghul's brother, Amran al-Ghul, inside his own home, but also Adnan's 24-year-old son, Mohammed. After killing the 2 Palestinians, Israeli occupation forces blew up the house. In another attack near Netzarim settlement, just south of Gaza City, Israeli soldiers killed Mohammed Farah Atiyah, a 23-year-old man. After attacking the area, IOF demolished Atiyah's home. Palestinian medical sources report another casualty from an additional IOF attack on Khan Yunis City. Israeli soldiers killed 22-year-old Zachariah Zaki Saidi in clashes in the area. Israeli sources say that one soldier was wounded. A Hamas spokesman says he was killed. The IOF took at least 8 Palestinians to Israeli prison in this latest attack on Khan Yunis, which lasted until 7 this morning. Every day this week, Israeli soldiers have killed Palestinians. Is this making the corporate and government-dictated news? Will this later be reported as a period of calm? Near midnight, Sunday night, Israeli soldiers killed 4 and injured 4 Palestinians in the northern Gaza Strip town of Beit Hanun. The town has suffered under Israeli siege for several months. Israeli occupation forces inside the town began shelling from one of the tanks. Palestinian sources say that the Israeli military began shooting without reason. These killings come at a time of international pressure for an Israeli-Palestinian ceasefire and a great deal of attention paid to violence in the region. This is also the area that each day we are told the IOF will leave from, Beit Hanun and Bethlehem. Every day Palestinians are told tomorrow or after tomorrow. Meanwhile, Israeli occupation forces continue to wreak havoc in these areas and all areas of occupied Palestine, all the while continuing to garner international support as victims. The head of Shifa Hospital's emergency department says that Israelis fired tank shells packed with flechettes at the Palestinians they killed in Beit Hanun Sunday night. The use of flechettes is prohibited under international law. In the destroyed southern Gaza Strip town of Rafah, Israeli occupation forces killed Sawad Abdel Aziz Badari late Sunday night. The 27-year-old Palestinian woman was walking near the Morak settlement when Israeli soldiers shot and killed her. The Israeli military told the Palestinian Authority that they had killed an armed fighter, but upon receiving her corpse and belongings, the PA saw that she was an unarmed young woman whom Israeli soldiers shot and killed without cause. At this time, during this ceasefire and U.S.-backed roadmap talks, the IOF has continued to kill Palestinians. Even publicly, the Israeli military government has the green light from the U.S. to kill Palestinians they deem to be ticking bombs. This term is up for interpretation. The U.S. and Israel disregard the fact that targeted assassinations are illegal under international law. Routinely, when the IOF attempts an assassination, they kill many Palestinians who are not the target. The Israeli military government simply blames the target for the others the IOF kills, putting the onus on him for having walked down a crowded street, driven in traffic, or lived in a house with neighbors. At a time when the U.S. administration is taking more public notice of how many Palestinians the IOF actually kills, these killings should be more difficult for the Israelis to explain away. But one's fears were realized this week when no one asked them for an explanation. Israeli occupation forces spent Wednesday morning attacking villages around Jenin. They entered with tanks and jeeps, broke into homes, terrorized residents, injured many, blew up houses, and took many to Israeli prisons. They also attacked Nablus's old city. Israeli settlers constructed new caravan settlements in protest of the Israeli government's taking down 5 uninhabited settlement outposts last week. Although the move by the Israeli government fell far short of the roadmap, international law, and public opinion, it was still too much for some Israeli settlers to bear. Movement throughout the West Bank is almost impossible now as well. Israel's so-called goodwill gesture of last month, which led to the release of 100 political prisoners, most of whom had just a few days to go on their illegal 6-month administrative detention sentences, can officially be forgotten now. On Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning, Israeli soldiers took 25 people from various West Bank cities to prison and also attacked Hebron, whose old city has been under siege and curfew for 3 years, dragging at least 130 Palestinians they suspect of being members of the political party Hamas to Israeli prisons. Eyewitnesses said the soldiers destroyed everything inside the homes, even tearing posters off the walls. The next night, Israeli soldiers came back and took their family members, estimated at another 130 people. Children were left without mothers, fathers, grandparents, or aunts and uncles. A young woman told me one boy like Hamouda, her 4-year-old son, was left sitting in the house, just him alone. Today we're speaking with Abu Issa, a man who lives in Bethlehem in the West Bank and works in Hebron. You work in Hebron, so you see the situation there every day. What's it like? What's the situation like there? What's been your experience going there on the roads? What's your experience like trying to work inside of that city that's been under siege for so long?
Good evening for everybody. Yeah, my name is Abu Issa. I am from Bethlehem, and I work in Hebron since 1995. I'm sorry because I will speak with English a little, and after that I will speak in Arabic. About the road and the suffering that we have it in the road. We have many checkpoints, and we couldn't go to main street. It just belong to the settlers and Jewish. Just we are traveling and from the and the normal it's just half an hour, but now it's 4 or 4.5 hours. And we're suffering from many things, like the settlers, when they saw us, they shooting and they are making something not good for us. And the soldiers, they make many checkpoints. They took our identity card and they let us maybe 1 or 3 hours in the streets, on the sands, and something like this. About the situation in Hebron, it's more dangerous, and they are suffering from many things. And to let everybody know about the Hebron city, it's two parts, the old city and the new city. The old city, maybe now they have curfew since 3 years. Since 3 years, they are in curfew, and they, maybe they are 7,000 people live there, and they are suffering from many things, like they have no water, no electrician, no phones, no food, no water, no nothing. Something happened there, maybe everyone know or they didn't know about it. Exactly the groups of the soldiers, the Israeli soldiers, when they catch someone in the Hebron streets, they give him many choices. Like, for example, they have many papers, small papers, and they write on it many choices. But of course, there is nothing good in the choices. One of these choices, maybe they want to broke his hand, maybe they want to broke his leg, maybe they beat him, maybe they want to put him in the street, and they naked him. And when they catch someone, they ask him, okay, now your turn. You could choose one of these papers. And when he chose, if he have the paper that they write on it, okay, broken leg, they must have broke his leg. And if he have broken hand, they must broke his hand. And maybe 6 or 7 months, one guy at the night, they catch him, and his bad choice, they must drop him from the vehicle when it's driving or like this, and they drop him from the vehicle. Of course he die, because of this. And now I could speak in Arabic. Sorry. في كثير حالات في خليل
الوضع فيها سيء جدا جدا، وبخصوص الطريق اللي أنا حكيت عنها، طريق في الوضع الطبيعي بتاخذ نص ساعة أو ثلث ساعة، يعني 20 minutes. هلا في الوضع اللي احنا فيه مش طبيعي بتاخذ معنا 3-4 ساعات، في بعض الأحيان 5 ساعات. طبعا هاي الطريق كلها بنجيها من الوديان ومن الطرق الوعرة ومن الجبال. الكوست اس يعني بتكلفنا في المواصلات 50 شيكل بتكلف الطريق just to go to Hebron without return. If I want to go to there in the same day, I will pay 100 shekels. It means $20. يعني بروح بخمسين شيكل وبرجع بخمسين شيكل، يعني 100 شيكل. So it's not good for anyone work here. يعني الفلوس ما بتكفي والمعاشات سيئة كثير، بالتالي الوضع بيكون صعب. هلا بالخليل around the all of the city it's many soldiers and you couldn't get into the city easily. بتقدرش تفوت جوا الخليل بشكل يعني سهل. إذا فات الواحد في الخليل جوا كل يوم في منع تجول، في الشغل. طيب الجيش إذا مسكوا واحد بضربوه، يعني بكسروه. بحكوش إنه في منع تجول، بيجي مثلا الساعة 12 الظهر بيحكوا ممنوع التجول مباشرة. إذا ما حدا بروح ببلشوا طخ 10-15 يعني بصيبوا ناس كثير، والأمور سيئة، يعني الأمور سيئة كثير والأمور مش طيبة، الله يعين الناس.
I want to ask you another question. The Israelis' so-called goodwill gesture where they released 100 political prisoners who just had a few days left on their sentences. One of those people released was your brother. But working in Hebron and Khalil, you see how many people the Israelis just put in prison in this week. Over 300 people, I think, is the count now that they put in prison. Did you ever think that the Israelis intended anything as a goodwill gesture, or that the Israelis have any idea that they want to participate in this roadmap? What do you think the future has in store for you as Palestinians now?
It's something silly for us because it's something for us. Really, I speak. Yani, it's something for us, and they took it, and all of the world know that there is something for us. They took it, and now they want to make it for them. Okay, our leadership said that we want the land in 1967. Okay, why not? But the Israelis now, they didn't want that. And about the road map, it's for my opinion, it's something. I know it's there is a dark future for us. I don't know why, but. Because the war now with Israel, nobody with us, and we saw that, and we understand that. About the now, let me speak in Arabic. بخصوص الاعتقالات والحسن النية عند الإسرائيليين. حسن النية عند الإسرائيليين مش صحيح. ما في حسن النية عند الإسرائيليين. الإسرائيليين أوكي ماشي، يعني أطلعوا أو أخرجوا من السجون 200 prisoners. They let them go out from the prison. Okay, it's good. But now, maybe they arrested more than 800 from all the West Bank, 200 or more from Hebron. And really, if they wanted someone, he wanted, maybe they said he is wanted for them. They make curfew in all of the place. They took all of the people there, not just on. Maybe they couldn't find the wanted man for them, but they arrested all of the people there, the youngs, and it's something horrible for them. And now, like example from Hebron, they arrested maybe 250 people from there. And if after maybe 1 week or 2 weeks, we make agreement with our leadership, then they said to the world, now we could release more than, or we will release another prisoner from the jail. Exactly. They just took them from their homes. They didn't do nothing. They have nothing to do. Just for something for the newspapers, and it's yani, there is no will good from the Israelis. يعني بخصوص خارطة الطريق, the road map, they call it road map. It's something make us laughing. We didn't know why, but now we are in the century 21. And we know the world. We know who is the strong and who is the weak. And in this map, we are the weak, and the Israelis and others, the friends, they are the strong. And we must accept it, all of the notes that they put it in this map. And believe me, to everyone in the world, I ask them just to know that we are the Palestinian people here. We are not Iraq. We are not Sudan. We are not Liberia. We are not Somal. We have our right. And it's easy for us to know that this land is for us, okay, and the Israelis coming here and they took it and they incubated it, and okay, now we tell them that we need our self-determination and our rights in 1967, and that's it. Why they put this note in the roadmap, and they said that we are terrorists and we have many organization in our people, and it's they like yani, the blood. It's not truth. Believe me, it's not truth. It's something they're making like they're wishing the brains for the people, and it's not good. Yani, everybody there in the world must understand, and when he heard something in the news or on the TV or the satellite cables or news, he must understand before when he said anything about the Palestinian people that we are terrorists or we are something like this. He must understand, and he must think before that 10 times that we are good people, and we know that we like just our homeland, and we need our self-determination, and we need our freedom. It's something not so bad. And now we are in 21st century, and I ask everyone, if there is any people now, they are incubated. Just maybe new now in Iraq, because they said that they want to make democracies there. There is no democracy, there is no freedom, there is no... Or just they want to steal the petrols and the oils, and we didn't know. Now we are in Palestine. We hope to all of the people in the world that they live good and they live free. And here we want the same thing. We didn't want incubation. We didn't want the settlers. We didn't want the settlements. Now everywhere they bought the settlement. They bought everything. Maybe there is a Jewish guy, maybe he is yani, sad from his girlfriend. He bring a small home and put it in the hill. They're not bring to him, and he make a settlement. It belongs to his idea. Yani, this is his land, this is hill. And it's something not good. Now we need yani, we need to the world that yani, we know that the roadmap is not good for us. But we accept it. Okay, why not? To let the world, all of the world to know that we want the peace. Okay, well, we want the peace. But believe me, the Israelis didn't want the peace. It's at the end, yeah, they didn't want the peace. They just want us to They didn't want us here. Where they want to send us, we didn't know. But we are here. Maybe they want or they didn't want. We are here. It's our land.
Thanks for speaking with us, Avuisa. Also, we've just been joined by a university student who lives in Hebron, and I just want to ask him a couple of quick questions. Can you tell us what's the situation at your university and what the Israelis refer to your university as?
The situation of my university is closed by force, by Israeli force, because some retirees and some people who need freedom, they bombed themselves, and the occupation forces, and to free their land, the Israeli forces are closed it and forbidden us to continue our study and to continue our life and our normal life. This the situation of my university, and we now studying our studies in schools and in very difficult situations, and at least we need to continue our study, and we will continue our life in normal and in good thing. That's it.
Thanks for joining us tonight, Murad and Avuisa. The manipulation is running deeper every day, with Palestinians still being expected to sit and take it. The level of depression and disassociation witnessed here is higher than ever. This is not a time of hope. It is a time of deep despair for Palestinians. A man has just told me today, we never dreamed it could get this ugly here. Reporting from the West Bank of Occupied Palestine, I'm Kristen S.